Kia ora, welcome to Arise Church Podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. We have a special guest for us today, so we hope you enjoy today's message.
Father, we are so thankful this morning to be in your presence on this wonderful Father's Day. I pray that you would do all that you want to do. I pray you would say all that you want to say. I pray that people that walked in searching would leave found, that people that walked in broken would leave healed, that people that looked in looking for direction, Lord, that you would just bring direction and favor and joy and peace and freedom. And I just pray that your spirit fall, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if you believe it this Sunday morning, can you yell with me, amen? Amen, amen. You can find your seats this morning. Amen. Do you like who you're sitting next to? Turn to them and say, you're my best friend, my bestie, my favorite, my number one. No one like you. No one like you. Now turn to the one you rejected on the other side. Love you too. A close second. Come on, how good is God, eh? Father's Day. How many fathers in the house? Lift your hands. Women, can we give some love to the fathers in the home? So appreciate every person in this place that stands up and raises their family, provides. You know, it's interesting when it comes to Father's Day, I'm not a father yet. And then I get asked to preach on Father's Day. But let me encourage you with something. I might not be a father, but I live in a freedom on the other side of a freedom that my father found. My father, he had a terrible upbringing, and I've shared that story. Prison, my grandfather was stabbed 27 times to death when he was only a young man, and so my father grew up in a household of hate and violence. They were running drugs all through the UK. Emergency emigrated them out to Australia. By the age of 16, my father had been kicked out of every school, every juvenile prison. He was the first teenager in Australian history to be tried in the Supreme Court as an adult. Was given a mandatory life sentence, what they called governor's pleasure, which meant the only way you could get released was if the Governor General of Australia actually signed off your pardon papers and let you go. And by the grace of God, at the age of 19, for no reason, and it definitely wasn't good behavior, they let him out. He ran straight from the prison, straight to a pub, got drunk, got high, hooked up with the bartender, moves in with this girl. It just happened to be that her mum was a 60-year-old beautiful saint of a woman that began to tell him about the love of Jesus. Marijuana tats, skinhead shaved, earrings in, angry, bitter, hateful, hated everybody around him. But this older woman, so used to come around and she used just to say, Neil, God's got a plan for you. Your life can be different. Your life can change. You don't have to live like this. I believe in you. I can see something in you. You got a future. There's a hope. How many know that's the gospel? You got a future. You got a hope. And she just began to love on him. He said it was so awkward, so uncomfortable. But he couldn't run. No Christian background. Didn't even realize that Christ and Christmas were the same thing. He was a year saved when he got the Christmas card and went, oh. Never made it past 14 at school. He's 61 years old now, pastoring his 8th or 9th church. We've been missionaries all over the world. He got radically saved, encountered the love of Jesus, took our family all over the world, starting churches and missions. I've had the most privileged, blessing upbringing because of what God can do in a man's life and then do in a father's life. And now I grow up never knowing the cycle of abuse and the cycle of addiction and the cycle of violence. I grow up completely free. I grew up in a whole different... Can I encourage every father that's here, and you're the first one, the first Christian in your family, and you're fighting for freedom, and you're fighting every cycle, and you're fighting every generational curse, but you're standing in there and you're hanging in there knowing that God's got a plan. Can I say your children are on the other side and other people's freedom are on the other side of you faithfully just staying true? And I'm so grateful for my father. Shout out Neil McCann, 61 years old. They just launched the first Equippers into Johannesburg, South Africa. At 61 years old. Don't tell me you're too old to do something for God. Because God's good. Can you say amen? This morning I really felt in my spirit, because I just really feel like one of the greatest attacks of the enemy in this generation is to really take away our hope. It's to really take away our expectancy. In fact, they say that depression is the inability to construct a future. That's a fascinating story, because what it's saying is I can't see past a time right now. I can't see past what I'm going through right now. And the devil's done a great job of stealing hope and stealing expectancy. But we know what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. And I believe this morning that God wants to reignite some dreams in hearts, to bring back some expectancy, to bring back a hope again, where you've maybe put things on the shelf or let things go, or the circumstances in life have played out in a certain way that's caused you to withdraw. I believe there's a scripture and a text that I'm going to read. It's a fascinating text and it's a powerful story. The disciples have been commissioned to go into all the world. Christ has ascended. They're doing the business and they come across a beggar. And in Acts chapter 3, we find a famous story of healing. But I want to pull the passage apart for us this morning, because I believe it speaks far more than just healing, and it gives us some keys to expectation and hope. Because God is setting the expectation in this text for what it's like when God walks with us and lives in us and moves through us. Anyone believe you have the King of Heaven living in your heart? Anyone believe that the Savior of the world lives in you and there's expectation? How many know God is always doing a new thing, that nothing is impossible for God, the Bible says? Sometimes the only reason we don't see all that God has is because we limit Him. And I believe God wants to bring expectation back. And it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, that one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. And a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those that were going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting. Turn to your neighbor and say, expecting. The man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I don't have. Here's what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. And he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, praising God, walking and praising. And they recognized him as the same man that used to sit at the gate begging, called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the men held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them. Isn't that a wonderful story? Here's a man, he's a beggar. He's lame from birth, and here he is, he's in this situation. Can you imagine what it's like to be watching people be able to do the thing you dream of doing every day, day in, day out? And I can't imagine. How many know it's kind of odd that he's sitting at a gate called Beautiful, because there's nothing beautiful about that. And he's sitting at the gate, and he's begging in a place of blessing. He's out the front of a temple. He's right at the gates. He's right at the doors of deliverance. But he's sat there and he's sitting there again and again and again. And I can imagine he's helpless. He's hopeless. He's most likely homeless. I imagine that as a child, even with his condition, he once had a dream. Maybe there'll be a doctor. Maybe I'll get healed. Maybe there's a miracle for me. Maybe one day things will change. Maybe one day my life could be different to this. Maybe one day I'll have what they have or do what they do, and maybe I'll get to experience what they experience. But as years go on and time goes on and reality sets in, I can imagine, but slowly but surely, every day his expectation just gets crushed. I once believed, I once dreamed. Same day, same depression. Same day, same discouragement. No ability to fix his own condition. No ability to stand on his own. Isn't that a perfect picture of us without God? No ability to fix our condition. No ability to stand on our own truly spiritually. Same discouragement, same depression. Same frustration, same fears. People walking in our generation, we have an anxious and a depressed generation. I could give you statistics, it's wild. We have people that are burdened with life, burdened with things, and they're desperate. They're desperate, they're begging. I need love, I need validation, I need hope, I need a dream, I need help, I need something to live for, I need a purpose. We walk past them every day. And I can imagine this man, he's just lost all expectation. And now it's new day, same situation, new day, same spirit, new day, same problem, new day, same pain, new day, same me, new day, same anxiety, new day, same depression, new day, same frustration, new day, same problem, new day, same porn addiction, new day, same food addiction, new day, same lack of discipline, new day, same financial stress, new day, lack of an ability to fix myself. Anyone relate? I love to read scripture as if I'm the hero in the text, but the more I read the text, I realized I'm more like the beggar than Peter and John. Begging at the place of blessing. Right at the door to deliverance, but never truly experiencing freedom. We're really good at wearing our Sunday best. We're really good at putting on a front. We hold it together, but the truth is a lot of us carry stuff. And the devil knows that, and he loves to take away our expectation. And maybe there's people you've walked in this morning and you're like, I've been walking this for so long and I've been carrying this for so long, and I'm so tired of that shame, and I'm so tired of that guilt, and I'm so tired of that worry, and I'm weary and I'm tired, and the devil has just done a number, and now it's like there's no expectation. It's like, I just gotta get by. Spiritually, physically, financially, mentally, any category. You know what it's like not to live every day with a let's go. It's the last time you woke up with let's go in your spirit. So here we go again, same old, same old. This is my lot in life. This is just what I expect. And we can get in that place really quickly, really easily. Maybe not physically begging, but spiritually we're starving. Emotionally we're exhausted. We got no faith for the future anymore. And it's just like we find ourselves in this place of, man, I don't know if I can go another day with this. I got zero expectation for my life anymore. I once believed God had a call for my life. I once believed God could use me. I once believed I'd get healed. I once believed there could be something more for me. But now I've just got to a place over the course of life where I've just began to accept that this is... I say I'm not preaching something I haven't lived. I had heartbreak and betrayal. I lost things. Lost a ministry, lost a... I know exactly what it's like to lose everything and just be in a place where it just feels like, is this it? Really, God? And have that, just that. Hungry for hope, hungry for help. Can I say today, I want to let you know, I serve a God that says in John 6:35, I'm the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. See, the devil's greatest strategy is to get you to accept the way things are rather than believe for what they could be. His greatest strategy is just to accept the way things are, then keep believing for what they could be. But I serve a God that says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. That's the God I serve. And I realized something in my biggest heartache and in my biggest pain, and when I felt at my lowest, I still serve a God that can turn things around, that can turn the page, that can shift my experience. And can I say something to somebody this morning? Don't let your past experience dictate your present expectation. Don't let your past experience dictate your present expectation. Don't stay begging in a place of blessing. Because this morning I believe that God's here. I preached a message this weekend. The King is in the room. And when the King is in the room, anything can happen. It's holy ground now. It's powerful ground now that you come before him clean and contrite and reverent and with awe, but you come courageously. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with courage and boldly to find mercy and grace and help in our time of need. He says, hey, now come to me with expectation. That word expectation, used in our text where the beggar looked up and stretched out his hand. It's literally it means this in the Greek, prostakeo, to stretch out your arm and open your hand in anticipation of receiving something. This beggar, he looked up at them. And he got a miracle that day. Can I say this? There's power in a place of prayer. Because one of the things that we miss in this text sometimes is the timeline to the testimony. The text says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple, listen to this, at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. In other words, they were on their way to do what they always did. They were on their way to be where they should be. They were on their way to go after God when they came along their assignment. And oftentimes it's in the along the way. It's in the doing what we just should be doing. It's in seeking God. Can I say this? When you are intentional about intimacy with God, God promises to be present. When you're intentional about intimacy, you find your assignment along the way. Here they were just going at the usual time to the usual place, and they came along their assignment. Because when you're intentional about intimacy, you find your assignment along the way. You find your purpose along the way. You find a miracle along the way. You find a testimony along the way. You find freedom along the way. They were doing what they should do. The greatest word God ever gave me when going through hell was, I want you to just keep showing up and putting yourself in the place where I can move. And for a year, I went to church numb. For a year, I went to church desperate. I'd hear great sermons and go, amen, but nothing on the inside. I'd listen to great songs and great music. And I'd say, God is good. That's amazing. But nothing. But God said, just keep showing up. Keep doing what you need to do. And on one random message at a 5 p.m., all of a sudden, just one song, one line. And it's like my heart broke and love came back and joy came back and freedom came back and hope came back. Because I just kept going where I should go and doing what I should do. And here they were on their way to prayer and they came along this beggar. Here he was, he's lost all hope. What a perfect group of people to bump into. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 3-5, it says, when the beggar saw Peter and John, he asked them for money. Peter looked at him, as did John, and Peter said, look up at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something. I love this picture because even a man who had nothing gave something, his expectation. And he looked up at him. I say sometimes God's just saying, would you lift your head? I love that word that God is the lifter of our head. And for some of us, we've had our head down here for so long. We're fixated on the flesh. We see nothing but what's in front of us, but we've forgotten who's above us. And we're so focused on what's not working and what's not happening and what's not there. And we lose sight of who is above us and who can turn things and who can change things. He looked up at them. God's given a word to someone this morning. Would you look back up? Stop looking down. Dream again, believe again, expect again. I was down, but now I'm. Thanks, Ben, got my back. But that's true, man. Sometimes we just got to get our head up. I find it fascinating that we get our needs and our wants mixed up so badly sometimes. This man wanted money. He needed healing. He wanted money, but he needed healing. A lot of times we're asking God for things that we don't need when deep down we need something completely different. I just want provision. I just want finance. I just want a position. I just want a promotion. We're asking for all these things, but really what we need is security and identity and peace and joy and real love. And what we're asking for is not what we need. In this text, this guy's saying, I need money. So you don't need money, man. You need the ability to make money. And you can only do that if you can rise and walk. So silver and gold I don't have, but here's what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can I say this? Three takeaway that's not even in here. Don't offer something that you can't give. People come to us with needs, come to us asking for things. I just need a boyfriend. I just need a partner. I just need this. I just need that. And you're like, actually, all the things you're asking for, I can't actually meet that for you. But what I can do is point you into the direction of the one that can. I can get you to the source. You're chasing supply. I'm going to introduce you to the source. And when you walk with the source, the supply comes easy. But when you chase the supply, you're at the mercy of the conditions. He draws them back to the source. See, this man wanted money, but he walked away with far more. He walked away with dignity. He walked away with freedom. Because you don't need to beg when you meet the blesser. Can I say this? When you pray, we're not begging God to overcome his reluctance. We're simply laying hold of his willingness. A lot of times we feel like we're begging God to do something he doesn't want to do. You know what my God's really good at doing? Saving people, healing people, providing for people. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And I'm begging God to do something he loves to do. Can I say this? How about you get some faith back in the spirit, some expectation back in your spirit. Say, God, I know you're the God that provides. I know you're the God that heals. And I'm stepping back in again in a new place. I'm getting my head up. I'm not going to keep looking down. And I'm going to engage with expectation. This man's life was never the same. Just like so many people in this place, your life has never been the same since Jesus. But I understand what it's like to do life for a while and do this journey. And to feel like I was doing so well, but then things just got stripped or I lost things or things fell down the way and now I'm just... Say, God's in the room. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly. But we need to get our head up. Need to put our hand out again. Need to reverence the King. Say, God, whatever you have for my life, I'm laying this down. I'm not living like this anymore. I'm desperate for you. And I believe that God would exceed your expectations. So I want to finish this thought with exceeding expectations because I believe that there's three keys we can take away from this story, either for ourselves or when helping others. Three keys to engaging with expectation. Firstly, we need to speak faith over the situation in front of us. I love that Peter didn't just kind of go, oh man, that's so sad. I'm so sorry about what you're walking through. I'm so sorry, man. I'll pray for you. Bless. He chose to speak faith. He says, verse 6, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. You know what you need to start doing is changing your language. Man, times are tough out there. Industry sucks. Life's hard. Marriage sucks. Marriage is hard. If it wasn't for her, I'd be sweet. Isn't it funny how we start like getting frustrated about the blessing that we prayed for? Some of y'all, you're lucky someone even chose you, y'all. This woman, what are you talking about, this woman? She's like, this Matt. We start complaining about our blessings. Now, language shifts, doesn't it? Our language changes. I say, what you declare, that's going to be your reality every day. And when you change your words and when you change what you say, this is going to be a great day. You know what I love about my wife? She's so good at encouraging me. We've got this thing we do every time we get in the car, and I would dare say it's close to almost every time. Three things you're grateful for right now, go. I immediately have to think of three things. That's challenging sometimes. Easy one, quickly, thank God for you. Thank God that I can move and live and walk and work, and I don't have to do this, I get to do this. I'm grateful that I got a God that forgave me. No matter what happens in this life, I know where I'm going in the next. And my language starts to change. I begin to speak faith. I love it in the morning. It's like, today's going to be a great day. When's the last time you woke up, turned to your spouse, or just woke up and talked to yourself in the mirror if you're single, it's coming, don't worry. And you just said, hey, today's going to be a great day. Today I'm going to walk in freedom. Today things are going to work out for me. I'm going to change my language. It's homologia. It means to confess. It's the word of saying that God, He said it, therefore I believe it. We come into agreement and it is so. If you said I'm blessed, I believe it. We come into agreement and it is so. If you said all things are possible, you said it. I believe it. We come into agreement and it is so. And I begin to declare and I begin to speak faith. Live with optimism, not criticism. Declare with faith. Don't talk with fear. Start speaking hope, not helplessness. Start declaring grace instead of self-judgment, and start speaking life. Get up and walk. My business. God bless my business. This needs to live. I need to provide for my family. This needs to live. You said if I'm faithful with a tithe, you open the windows of heaven. You said it. I agree with it. I come into agreement with what you promised. And you're a good promiser. You're a good... Every promise you say is yes and amen. So I come into agreement and I come into alignment and I say the same as. I speak the same as. I declare life. My marriage, my relationships, my friendships, my business. Second thing they did is they helped him up. Verse 7, taking him up by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet and began to walk. I love that thought, that actually the miracle didn't happen while he was still just sitting there. It took a reaching out and a lifting up, but as he got up, the ankles became strong and he began to walk. Oftentimes we're pointing at something, go, move, 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 fix, get there. You can do it in Jesus' name. And Jesus is saying, would you take a step? My family, they'll never get saved. Would you say, hey, would you like to come this Sunday? Oh, but I've done that 1,000 times. Try one more time. My sister for 3 years, every Sunday, begged me to come to church. I said, absolutely not. And then one Sunday, I said, yes. I'm here today because of that Sunday. One more time. Sometimes it means lending a hand, reaching out, carrying some weight. Can I say, if God's not really been fresh in your life, is there a potential chance that it's because you're not really serving anymore or giving anymore like you used to, and you used to help and you used to be involved and you used to carry weight, but slowly it's gone from an engagement thing to a spectator thing, and now we come in and we're wondering why we don't feel close with God and close with people? And He's saying, because the closeness and the joy and the expectancy is built in relationship and it's built in serving, and those that are close to me are those that have my heart. My heart's to serve. He's saying, would you step in again? Start moving again. Start walking again. Start serving again. Speak faith. Start moving. Help people get back on their feet. And lastly, I love this. They didn't just let the miracle be what it was. They brought him in. Listen to this. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man that used to beg at the gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement that this man in one moment went from sitting outside the temple begging to running inside the temple praising. You know what we need? We need a generation of people that start bringing people in. You got free, you got healed, you got set free. I'm going to start looking for the person in need. I'm going to speak faith. I'm going to help them up, and I'm bringing them in. You come with me, man. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me introduce you to God. Let me give you something different. Help them up. Speak faith. Bring them in. For some here, you've started kind of debating, do I go to church or not? Should I turn up or not? Should I walk into the house? Can I promise you, there's power in the house. It's the ecclesia. It's when we come together. There's power in a place of prayer. Don't negotiate with God's greatest blessing for you. But if it stays spectator, you only ever get what you give. The joy, the reward. So when we get involved and begin to speak life over our church, speak life over our situation, speak life over our relationships, we start helping people up, helping people get on their feet, start declaring faith, start pressing in for miracles, start bringing them in. Say, hey, come on, I see some empty seats. That's got my friend's name on it next week. That's got my mum's name on it next week. That's got my family's name on it next week. We're going to keep building. We're going to keep growing. It's the God that we serve. What I'm saying is raise your expectation. Believe again. Dream again. Hope again. We serve a God that can do exceedingly and abundantly. Go above and beyond. These aren't just fancy words. They're the words of our Savior. This isn't church hype. This is God's promise. You know why God has done amazing things in my life? And I say that with the utmost just awe of what God's done in my life. It's because I actually believe that God can do anything. And I actually believe that God will do what He says He will do. That's it. There's no secret. How do you see healing miracles? How do you see that kind of revival? How do you see salvation responses? Because I don't see me, I see Him. And every time I reach Him, I see healing and I see miracles. And every time I read about Him, I see freedom and I see hope. And every time I get closer to Him, the more time I spend with Jesus, the closer I get to Him. I start seeing what He sees. I start feeling what He feels. I start wanting what He wants. I start loving who He loves. And I can't help but be different. And the world around me can't help but be different because I'm going in healthy and I'm changing the environment. That environment doesn't change me. And I promise you, if you would just get some hope again and go, you know what? I'm going to start taking God at His word again. If you said, I believe it. If my family can get saved, if you love to save, then I'm going to start saying it again. My mom, my father, my sister, my daughter, my son, they're going to get saved in Jesus' name. This job is going to be prosperous. I'm blessed. God's going to prosper me because He promised. God's going to bless my marriage and bless my relationships. It's going to bless my family because I got the blessing of Almighty God. Can you say amen? I got the blessing of Almighty God. I wonder if we can stand in this place. I believe God's here and He's encouraging some people. There'd be no more begging in a place of blessing. You're right here at the door of deliverance. Let's leave different. Let's cross over. Let's go in. Let's get in the presence of Almighty God. Let's stand to our feet. Let's get healing again. Let's come in with expectation. I believe it. I really do believe it. There's power in a place of prayer. God's called us. Speak faith. Speak life. Engage with expectation again. Believe again. help people up. Stand. Walk again. Go again. Try again. Pray again. Serve again. Love again. Witness again. Do the thing. And as you're intentional about intimacy, God promises to be present. And when you're intentional about intimacy, you find your assignment along the way. And God's about to do big things in life this morning. I wonder, every hand lifted, every eye closed. You say, I feel a hope rising again in my heart. I feel there's an expectation in my spirit again. And I wonder if you begin to come before God right now for just 1 minute and just begin to say, I'm going to pray again for the dream that I laid down. I'm going to pray again for the thing I used to love doing. I'm going to pray again for the people in my world that are far from God but close to me. And I'm going to start believing God again for great things. And I wonder if you could just put your hand up and begin to name it right now. In this moment, begin to name their name, that person, that business, that job. Make that decision. I'm going to commit again. I'm going to serve again, that team, that ministry, whatever it be right now in this moment. Let it be a moment of decision. I'm praying for salvation. Today we're going to walk out of here and you're going to go and visit them and send that message and make that call. I'm praying for getting close with God again. Today I'm going to open my Bible again for the first time in a long time. Or I'm going to get up a little bit earlier like I used to and pray and touch heaven again. Whatever it is, you're making a decision right now. I'm engaging with expectation. I'm changing the narrative. I'm refusing to let the devil talk me out of what God's got for my life. And I'm coming here to a God that exceedingly and abundantly does more than I could ever dream or ever ask for. Right now, in this moment, I believe. I believe. I believe. You're here in this place, every head bowed, every eye closed. You identify with the beggar, maybe not physically, but in your spirit. You carry the shame and the guilt of decisions that you've made. You've tried to get free in your own. There's addictions and it's substance. There's addictions and it's mental. You've got mental things like anxiety and depression just crippling you. You're unable to move. You're unable to be free. And you're like, man, I've tried everything the world says will make me happy. I've tried the substance. I've tried career. I've tried relationships. I've done everything. But I'm walking in this place where I just feel like I'm shackled and I'm crippled and I'm unable to move forward. I know exactly what it's like to be unable to construct a future, and it's led to depression, and now I can't see past the day in front of me. Getting up alone is just such a mental taxation. I don't want to live. I'm in this place. I don't know what's next. I can't build. Can I tell you, there's a God here that loves to give a future and a hope. There's a Jesus here that loves to change lives and touch hearts. And He's here this morning and He wants to change your future. For anyone that is in Christ, the old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're like, I need that hope. I need that joy. I need that peace. I need that grace. I need that love. Whatever you're preaching about, I need that. Can I tell you, it's found in one thing. Hope has a name. And His name is Jesus. Peace has a name, and His name is Jesus. Joy has a name. You're here right now, while every head's bowed, every eye's closed, no one looking, and you say, I want that this morning. I want the forgiveness of sins. I want the freedom you're mentioning. I want that new reality, that new joy. I want a new experience. Could you do something? Could you just lift up your hand? Quickly, hands going up everywhere. Yes, hands going up everywhere. Making decisions. Thank you. Hands going up. I want that joy. Thank you for your honesty. Keep them coming. If that's you and you can feel God moving, God sees that hand and that hand. Many over here, many over there. Thank you so much. God's stirring you. Saying, I need a new reality. I need a new expectation. I need a new hope. You'd lift up your hand and say, that's me, that's me, that's me. For some, you've been in the house, you've served the Lord, but over time, just things, hurt, pain, bitterness, frustration, disappointment. We're real people, real things happen, and it can crush our spirit, crush our soul. But today you're saying, you know what? I'm trying to do all of this now in my own strength. It was better when I had God on side. And now you're living with the very thing that you thought you'd never live with. You're back in the same place that you were before you met God. And today you're saying, I'm coming back, man. I'm coming back to the place of blessing. I'm not going to beg right here. I'm not going to be at the door of deliverance and walk out the same every Sunday. I need something new. If that's you and you're coming home, would you lift up your hand? Quickly, hands going up. Anyone else? Would you lift up your hand? God sees that hand and that hand and that hand and that hand and that hand. And hands all over the back. God sees hands everywhere. I believe God's moving. God is so good. Today's a new day. Today is a new day. Today all things change and all things become new because the King is in the room. Anyone grateful when people give their lives to Jesus? Come on, anyone grateful for that? Can we give Him praise? Oh, we're thankful, Lord. We're grateful, Lord. I wonder, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you lifted up your hand and you meant it with all your heart, I pray as you pray this prayer that you would let expectation come back in. Don't pray this reluctantly, pray it with faith. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that we shall be saved and our reality can change. And I'm praying right now for so many hands that were lifted in this room that everything changes today. It's a reference point. It's a new day. It's a new expectancy. If that's you, I want you to pray with me. But I want our whole church to join together in prayer. I want us to pray with victory because there's people coming to the kingdom of heaven. There's family members coming home. There's salvation in the house. And we're going to pray with joy. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I'm sorry for the things I've done that have separated us. But today, I declare, be my Lord, be my Savior. I am yours and you are mine. From this day forward, I will live for you. Raise my hope and expectation, for my expectation is in you. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe it, can you say amen?
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.